Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fastamai, good evening. Welcome to Update, your run-through of what's been happening news-wise on the island today. So coming up in the next half hour, the Enterprise Minister says his department's carrying out an internal review after concerns about its due diligence were raised. We'll also be talking a lot of rubbish, namely how easy it is to dispose of, and we'll have the latest on the reuse shed at the Northern Civic Amenity site. As Tynwald nears the end of day two, we're going to find out about one of the main items that have been discussed this afternoon, and we'll also be heading to Orkney live for the latest news from the Island Games. All that plus the weather, the traffic and the travel as well. And as ever, if you'd like to get in touch, we'd love to hear from you. studio@manxradio.com is the email address, or you can text 166 177. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Simon Fastamai.
Fastamai, Tynwald has approved changes to legislation around organ donation on the Isle of Man. It means an opt-out system will come into force from the 1st of January 2026. The legislation has been named Daniel's Law after Daniel Boyd, a Manx resident who tragically died in a road accident when he was just 15. Following his death, Daniel donated his heart, liver, pancreas and kidneys, which saved four lives. The island's energy from waste plant has issued a reminder to people not to put electrical items in with their waste and to instead take them to their local amenity site. It's after the facility was closed yesterday to incoming deliveries due to a fire in the waste pit. Three students from UCM's Art, Design and Music Department have been selected for a prestigious exhibition in the UK. The Origin Creatives is an annual event organised by the University of the Arts London, which celebrates student creativity and hard work. The three selected pieces of work are from Ewan Travers and Belle Cooley, who study Level 3 Music Performance and Production, and Irina Semenenko, who studies the Level 3 Diploma in Art and Design. International news, UK Defence Secretary says it's been deeply uncomfortable to cover up a data breach in 2022, which lawyers argued risked the lives of Afghan nationals who helped British troops. A court order shrouding the blunder in secrecy has been lifted, as it's revealed 7,000 people have been relocated to the UK as a result, at a cost of £850 million. Two men have been jailed for more than 4 years each for cutting down the Sycamore Gap tree during a storm in September 2023. A judge accused them of bravado and revelling in the thrill of it. And a couple's been found guilty of murdering their two-year-old grandson, subjecting him to casual cruelty in Flintshire in North Wales. Ethan Ives Griffiths was found dehydrated, underweight and bruised in August 2021. Those are the headlines. More news at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Simon. Now, the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Mostly dry, actually, with some bright or sunny intervals after what has been a pretty wet and windy day. Also the risk, though, of an odd sharp shower this evening. Moderate west to northwest winds. They could be gusty for a time. Temperatures around 16, but tomorrow generally dry, sunny spells, and those winds will fall light and variable. Top temperatures tomorrow around 20. Sunset this evening 9:43. Sunrise tomorrow morning 5:06.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Are you a landlord looking for an easier life with a guaranteed return? Landlord Lifeline specialise in helping owners like you. For a free, no obligation meeting, call 616 600 or visit landlordlifeline.im.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zet's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zet's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
For a wide range of wood-burning stoves and a complete installation service, visit The Snug in Ramsey. And we don't stop there. Kiln-dried firewood and full aftercare service, including chimney sweeps and maintenance. Call The Snug in Ramsey.
Many people are struggling. You can help by volunteering or making a donation to Isle of Man Food Bank, whether it be food or essential items or financial support. please call 646 999. Brought to you by Descon Office Interiors.
It's 4.5 minutes past five and you're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. We're going to talk first tonight about Daniel's Law, as Tim Wald has approved changes to legislation around organ donation here on the Isle of Man. What it means is that from the 1st of January next year, all adults who haven't opted out and are not in an excluded group will be presumed to consent to donation, as Lewis Foster reports.
The Human Tissue and Organ Donation Act, or Daniel's Law, was granted royal assent in 2021, with officers from Public Health carrying out the preparation work to introduce the legislation ever since. Four sets of regulations have now been approved by politicians, which allows the Cabinet Office to implement the requirements of the Act. Despite this transition, people are still being encouraged to register or update their decision on the NHS Organ Donor Register, which will continue to be consulted if organ donation is being considered. Director of Public Health, Dr. Matt Tyra, says organ donation is a choice and families are always involved if there is the option of donation taking place. It is now and will continue to be, he says, an individual's choice whether they want to register as an organ donor or to opt out. Once a person has made their decision, we encourage them to register that choice and to let their friends and family know so that their wishes can be followed. Well, the legislation has been named Daniel's Law after Daniel Boyd. He was a Manx resident who tragically died as a result of injuries he sustained in a road accident in 2007 when he was just 15. Following his death, Daniel donated his heart, liver, pancreas and kidneys, saving four lives. His mum, Diane Taylor, says the first time they'd had the conversation about organ donation was when medical staff spoke to them in the intensive care unit as their son had passed away. Ever since Daniel's death, Diane has campaigned for greater awareness of organ donation on the Isle of Man.
That's Lewis Foster with that report. Well, the public gallery down at Tynwald was busier than usual today, not least because Daniel Boyd's family and supporters of the campaign were sat watching as the members discussed that this afternoon. Christian Jones was there and he joins us now from the public gallery. Fastamai, Christian, just first of all, talk us through what the feeling was like in the chamber during that organ donation discussion.
Yeah, first to my Beth. Well, there was quite a sincere feeling throughout the chamber. Very few MHKs stood up to comment, and those that did were more to ask questions on formalities going forwards. But as you alluded to just there, I'm currently sitting in the public gallery where the family of Daniel Boyd was sat, and undoubtedly so. His story is what triggered the years of campaigning that followed, which boiled down to the vote we had today to change the way organ donation works. And there's going to be a public awareness campaign. That was something that Arbury Castletown and Malou MHK Tim Glover was really pressing to ensure that this is not the end of organ donation and it will continue to be talked about. Daniel Boyd's mother Diana said to me time and time again on the occasions we've spoken how important it is to have those conversations no matter how difficult they may be. And it was something that was stressed by Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister Claire Barber, who talked about her time before she became a politician when she was a nurse.
I've been privileged to spend time in my work in intensive care working with those people in those final stages of their life as they give that ultimate gift. It absolutely is imperative that we all talk about our wishes, that we all understand what our loved ones want, and we need to talk about this while we can. And I know that it can be difficult sometimes, but it absolutely is vital for so many reasons, not least the anguish that you can see loved ones go through when they're not quite sure what the person would have wanted. So I just really want to impress the importance of that campaign, and I really absolutely think that it's a real testimony to the family of Daniel, actually, that we have this legislation here today. Thank you.
That was the Minister Claire Barber speaking there. Well, naturally, it was an emotive day for the family of Daniel Boyd. And we can now bring you some of what Daniel's mother, Diane Taylor, said after Tynwald unanimously approved this new law.
That has been a long time coming, and there was a period when I thought that it was never going to happen. I understand now more why it's taken so long. You know, when there's times when you're going out and telling Daniel's story, it's hard. But I think of the positive impact that it has been having. Actually, yeah, I thought I would be more emotional. I'm just so happy now that it has gone through, and I'm just so proud of Daniel, and he would do anything to help. anybody else. I read a story after he died that he had paid some bullies to stop bullying his friend because that was the sort of person that he was. He just wanted to help people. And I know that he'd have the biggest smile today.
That is Daniel Boyd's mother, Diane Taylor, talking there after Tim Ward unanimously approved Daniel's law this afternoon. A really significant change. And as I say, there will be a lot of press about this and a lot of media coverage just to ensure that people here on the Isle of Man do understand exactly what is going to happen now. You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It is 5:10. Now, the Enterprise Minister says his department's carrying out an internal review after concerns were raised about its due diligence. This comes after the chair of Visit Isle of Man resigned after being linked to past involvement in council-owned companies subject to ongoing fraud investigations in England. Now, Tim Johnston insists there has been no failure in the process. So Phil Gorn asked him why his department is carrying out this investigation then.
People putting two and two together and getting 48, as often happens in there, I'm afraid. I mean, ultimately, there's an issue because somebody's gone. The reason they've gone is that there's an issue. What I can't do is start talking in great detail about what that issue is. All I can say and did say is that there's been a matter that's been referred through due to concerns about financial regulations. That is the situation. Automatically, when the situation like this happens, members do tend to start questioning straight away, well, hang on, who's done something wrong? You know, who's failed here? And that's not the case. The individual has gone through a process when it came to recruitment. So my point was that, of course, in any situation like this, when something unfortunate has happened, you always need to look back on it and say, well, hang on, what has happened? How did it happen? Has there been issues? But as far as the actual process is concerned for recruiting an individual, it's gone through standard processes.
There is this internal investigation. Is that the sort of thing that we'll ever get to find out about?
Well, I can't answer that at this stage. I think, as I say, I don't know. Clearly, if there's anything there that absolutely needs to be in the public, for the public interest, then of course it will be. But clearly, these are sensitive matters when you're talking about an individual. You talk about a contract with an individual, you know, that we have to be very careful what we can and can't say. And it's always unfortunate situations like this. For a minister, you're always very exposed because it's very easy to ask questions and make it sound like, you know, make a bit of sort of hay while the sun shines, if you like, in a situation like this. But I have to be very careful what I say.
That is the Enterprise Minister Tim Johnston talking to Phil Gorn there. 5:12. Now, a BALAF commissioner says no Northern commissioners should sign an agreement over the Northern Civic Amenity site until the reuse shed is opened. Paul Weatherall believes the site needs to be reinstated because it provided value to residents and allowed people to dispose of items in a responsible way. Well, he's been talking to our local democracy reporter, Emma Draper.
I brought it up at the first BALAF Parish Commissioners meeting, and the three commissioners that are there at the moment agreed that they would support writing to the Department of Infrastructure asking for it to be reopened. People I know in BALAF are still missing having that facility, and everyone keeps saying the sooner it's reopened the better, and that goes for people throughout the northern parishes and Ramsey itself and Gough, because it serves all of those communities.
How are those local authorities working together? Do you know if there's any inroads into getting it open at all?
Well, at the moment it's still very much up in the air. The Department of Infrastructure, as I said, have taken over responsibility, but it's still the staff employed by Ramsey Town Commissioners who have always been operating the site, who are carrying on operating it now on behalf of the Department of Infrastructure. So it's the Department of Infrastructure that needs to make the decision to reopen. As I say, I've brought it up at BALAF Parish Commissioners. Pauline Johns-Garrett, Ramsey Town Commissioner, is bringing it up at the next meeting, asking Ramsey to support writing to the DOI to have the sheds reopened as well. And I would encourage all of the different parish commissioners in the north of the island and Gough to be doing the same and bring pressure on the Department of Infrastructure to bring this service back. The financing and the administration is still up in the air, and I don't think there's an official agreement still in place between the Department of Infrastructure and the Ramsey and the other parishes. I think there's an agreement drafted, but I don't think it's been signed by anybody yet, and I would encourage no one to sign that agreement until the reuse shed is reopened as part of it.
That is BALAF Commissioner Paul Weatherall talking to Emma Draper there. A spokesperson for the Department of Infrastructure says the sites are operated and funded by local authorities, so it's up to Ramsey commissioners to reopen the reuse shed. They add the NCAS Reuse Centre is not open for operational reasons. And it comes, as we just heard, Simon, in the headlines just after five, talking about the energy from waste facility and that warning not to put electrical items in the waste, to instead take it to a local amenity site. Some interesting comments on that on our social media pages this afternoon. It's coming up to 5:15.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
So we're not aware of anything from the police on the roads. Again, always good news, but if you spot anything and able to let us know, that is great. Other things happening, temporary lights in the Braddon Road, that's between the hospital roundabout and the Strang for resurfacing. Also temporary lights on Woodburn Road at the Albany Road Junction, that's for bus stop improvement works. Finch Road, as we know, closed between St Barnabas Hill and Christian Road for sewer work. And there are also temporary lights on the Coast Road between Laxey and Ball Dry, and that's near the Ballabeg tram crossing, that is for patching works. All looking good down at the steam packet, the Manxman due into Douglas at around about 6, the Mananin on its way to Liverpool, getting there in around about 20 minutes or so. And down at the airport, there was a slight delay, I think, on the Dublin flight a little bit earlier. So that is going at 5 to 7 now. But other than that, all looking good.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre, with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
Coming up to 16 minutes past five. We're staying with Tynwald because it has approved £15.3 million for the Department of Health and Social Care. That's to cover an overspend for the 2024-25 financial year. It hasn't, though, naturally come without criticism from both sides of the court, as Lewis reports for us.
Health Minister Claire Christian told members that the additional funding was required due to increased employee costs, off-island care, the development of new services, contract spending and rising drug expenditure.
Within the 2024-25 financial year, Manx Care's cost improvement programme achieved £13.4 million of savings in total. These savings were realised through various projects, including reductions in bank and agency spending, medicines optimisation, workforce management, and increased commercial income.
The request for extra funding drew criticism from several members of Tynwald.
We must also consider how the Department of Health and Social Care can support Manx Care in the future while holding them fully accountable for what may be perceived as significant weaknesses in financial stability, performance and governance. For these reasons, I cannot support the supplementary vote without a comprehensive review of structure and the setup of both Manx Care and the Department of Health and Social Care.
MLC Kirsty Morfitt also said she would not support the motion, expressing concern about the lack of evidence that such requests would not continue on an annual basis. Treasury Minister Dr. Alex Owenson said that similar concerns had been raised for decades and reminded members that the Sir Jonathan Michael report had been commissioned to help determine what healthcare the island could afford. In her closing remarks, Health Minister Claire Christian acknowledged the concerns raised and said there appeared to be a lack of confidence. She encouraged members to focus on solutions and said collaboration would be key to ensuring further requests for funding were not required in future. Tynwald voted to approve the funding request with support from both branches.
Lewis Foster reporting there. Coming up to 18 minutes past five. Now, were you or any family member of yours a pupil at Ballasalla Primary School? Well, if so, there is still chance this evening to revisit your youth, because the school's hosting an open evening in honour of the 70th anniversary of the current school building. And former students are welcome to go along and look at the photographs from the past, reminisce with scholars and maybe have a cup of tea as well. Amy Griffiths has been to Ballasalla School to hear all about it.
Hi, I'm Jamie Cox, head teacher.
I'm Hannah Druitt. I work in reception class here and I'm also a mum.
I'm Donna and I am the site manager and also an ex-pupil.
I mean, obviously we've been at this site for 70 years. The school's older than that, but we've actually got some of our staff who are ex-pupils, and it was them really who raised it. And that's Donna and Hannah, and they've done lots of work. They've got lots of photos. I think we did something similar on the 50th. Anniversary of the school, which was really popular in the local community, so we just wanted to offer that opportunity for past pupils to come back and have a look and see how things have changed.
Hannah, you were a student here and your kids now go here. What does this school mean to you?
Well, I have lovely memories of this school. So I started in a green jumper and left in 2000 in my purple uniform, so I'm very proud that my daughter now comes here. She loves it. She made loads of friends, and it's just a brilliant school to work and to be a mum here at.
We've got the Manx dancing costumes, we've got all the old plans of the school, we've got the white boys' shields, we've got all the old trophies, we've got hundreds and hundreds of photographs, newspaper cuttings. Hannah's kindly going to do the refreshments.
Hello, I'm Millie and I'm in year two.
What is it that you're looking forward to about celebrating the 70th anniversary of the school?
I'm looking forward to just like see everybody and see everybody like in the hall looking at all the decorations and dressing up.
What are you dressing up as?
I'm dressing up as like something as the 80s.
Isn't that gorgeous? Although to be honest, thinking about the 80s being a historic event makes me feel a bit unusual. But anyway, that was year two pupil from Ballasalla, Millie. And Amy was also talking to the head teacher, Jamie Cox, Hannah Druitt and site manager, Donna, as well. That event is on until 7pm. So if you are a former pupil, they'd really love to see you down there. So if you can make it, that would be brilliant. It's 20 past five. Well, the Manx athletes in Orkney for the Island Games have once again been shining today. Our sports editor, Rob Pritchard, is there for Manx Radio and can join us now. Rob, and we've had Art, cycling, badminton, to name a few. How's it all going?
Yes, we've had the lot. Welcome back to the Picacoy Centre in Kirkwall. Let's take a look, first of all, at the medals so far for Team Isle of Man today. We've had three so far heading into the evening sessions. In the cycling, the mountain bike team winning team bronze in the mountain bike men's criterium today. The team of Owen Collins, Mark Hosthouse, Eric Kelly, Ross Thorley and Callum Salisbury. In archery, there has also been a bronze medal, Ethan Moore and Aylan George. A bronze medal in the mixed compound event. That's the third medal in 2 days for archery and the second in 2 days for Ethan Moore, in fact. And the third medal, well, it has actually come in the last 5 minutes here at the athletics track. Amy Christian has won bronze in the women's 400 metre hurdles in athletics. Elsewhere, plenty of action across the board today. Taking a look at badminton, Tommy Cheng and Alex Buck are into the last 16 of the men's singles after both have picked up two victories so far today. Elsewhere, Jess Lee in the women's singles, she's involved in the last 16 today. She received a bye from the round of 32 due to being second seed in the competition. In football, the women's team have been in action today. They are just about finishing up their game against the hosts, Orkney. The women's team were 5-0 up at halftime, courtesy of a Becky Cole hat-trick and two goals from Millie Dawson. Excuse me, looking ahead to this evening then, it's another busy night in the swimming pool after five medals across the individual and relay events last night. In the swimming pool tonight and qualify for the finals after the preliminaries today, Alex Turnbull, who got individual bronze for the first time at the Games last night, he will be involved in the final of the men's 50-metre breaststroke. Joel Watterson, a serial winner at times in the Island Games in swimming, he'll be involved in the men's 200-metre freestyle. Libby Kerfey has qualified for the finals tonight. She's involved in the women's 100-metre backstroke. Kira Prentice, straight through to the women's 1,500 metre freestyle, and the men's 4x50 metre freestyle relay team are in action. Remember, in the men's medley relay last night, the 4x50 metre team not only won gold but an Island Games record. Elsewhere tonight, men's football in action up against the hosts Orkney at 7pm at Kirkwall Grammar School, and I am told that could be some raucous atmosphere down there. That's where I'll be personally this evening. And in athletics, plenty still to come this evening. We have the semi-finals of both the men's and women's 200 metres. In the women's 200 metre semi-finals, both Megan Pilley and Lucy Ormsby of the Isle of Man will be involved. In the men's, both Ben Sinclair and Daniel Stewart Clegg have qualified. And rounding off the athletics action this evening, we'll have two more Manx athletes in action in the men's 1500 metre final. Sam Perry and Ryan Corrin, they will both be looking to try and be amongst the medals this evening. Plenty more to come, and hopefully some more medals still to come.
Oh, Robert, sounds absolutely brilliant. The weather's been really mixed here today. What's it like there?
It's been really mixed here. I was actually speaking to Ben Hartley over on Manx Radio Breakfast this morning, and the time he visited me over here in Kirkwall, the weather had, I think I described it as becoming distinctly Manx. We had a lot of wind, we had a lot of drizzle during the morning, and it was a real break from the sunshine we've had. But I'm glad to report that as of lunchtime today, throughout this afternoon, hopefully into this evening, the skies are blue and extremely clear. The sun is back out. There is a little bit of a breeze, but not too much. If anything, it's probably cooling us off. I know I'm certainly benefiting from it after the sun spray has really had to be doing its work over the last couple of days. But conditions right now are gorgeous once again here in Kirkwall. And hopefully that's a sign of some of the positive things to come for Team Isle of Man this evening.
Wonderful. Rob, thank you so much. That is Rob Pritchard live from Orkney. All the details about how the teams are doing are on the Manx Radio Sports page. There's a live blog on there. There's loads of video and photograph as well on the social media pages as well. So do check that out. Now, the annual North American Manx Association Awards have been taking place on the island, recognising outstanding achievements by young people here and honouring their contribution to the Manx culture. Well, speaking at the ceremony, President of Tynwald Lawrence Skelly said recognising heritage and culture gives people a real sense of unity and belonging.
There are a number of people I'd like to thank again with education, and I would like to thank the Minister and Mrs. Maltby and the Department for continuing this commitment in supporting the culture of the island. I'd also like to thank the World Manx Association, which there is representation here. And the World Manx Association, just like the North American Manx Association, they've been here to welcome the Manx when they come home. And of course, we've just had Tynwald Day, the Manx tent. You will see people from all over the world coming back to celebrate and recognise their heritage. I'd like to say thank you to the teachers for the work that you do in continuing this support. It is extremely valued, and I would recognise that your challenges with regards to academic curriculums is not easy to introduce and maintain that connection with regards to our heritage and our culture. But I'd also want to say thank you to the parents and the grandparents, because you're the people who are inspiring the young people to actually maintain that and take this further apart. The students here today getting an award, you now have something very unique on your CVs. So no matter where you go, whatever you do, you're going to have something that's going to identify yourself different from anyone else around the world. You have a cultural award from the Isle of Man, where you were raised here, whether you were born here. And you can use that to your advantage, because that is what will make you different.
That is President of Tynwald Lawrence Skelly, who is speaking at the annual North American Manx Association Awards. And thanks to Bob Carswell for recording that audio for us as he was there. And it's a lovely thing to be celebrated, and as I say, something that does happen every single year. That is just about it from Update this evening. As we were saying when we were talking to Rob, do keep up to date with how the athletes are doing in Orkney at the Island Games by going to the Manx Radio website. Rob has got that blog ongoing there. He gives you the very latest details. On social media, lots of photographs and loads of videos as well, especially with some of the medal winners. The medal winners have just been absolutely ecstatic. It's a wonderful thing to be part of. So do keep up to date with how they are doing. But that is all from Update this evening. Up next, it is Countryside with Simon and Kiri. And I should say that today they are going to be discussing the issue of mental health within the farming industry. So just to let you know, they may be discussing some things which you may find upsetting. After that, it is Greatest Hits with Chris Kinney from 6 p.m. From 9, it's The Folk Show with John Barker. And then Dave Moore will be with you from 10 with After Hours. So whatever you're doing this evening, have a great one. Keep up to date with the very latest stories on Manx Radio's website and on our Facebook and X pages as well. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.